Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. It is rough out there today with the weather, so hope everybody's staying safe out there today. We've had tornado warnings that have rolled through our area. We've had some flooding concerns that will continue to be around throughout the rest of today and potentially throughout the rest of this week as well. So just make sure you keep an eye on what's going on with the weather and any potential developments as they happen. We will keep you updated as best we can here on the program today throughout the show. So, Joe, I'm looking. Fox 17's got their broadcast up right now. There was a tornado warning that was going through Lewis and Maury and southwestern Williamson County, and it's looking like that has now expired. So it looks like the tornado warning on that front has now expired. We'll keep you updated on the storm front. And obviously they're showing live shots on all the local news channels about the roadways out there and just a lot of traffic, a lot of problems on the roadways this morning. So one of those situations where, frankly, if you don't absolutely have to be out, probably not a great idea to be out. So just keep that in mind today as you go about your day. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Preds are back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. We'll have Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, scheduled to join us at 7:30, coming up later this morning. We had a very interesting discussion yesterday, Joe, about Andrew Brunette and his future here with the Predators. And I just threw the question out there for Predators fans. What will your reaction be if Barry Trotz gets through his evaluation and determines that Andrew Brunette is going to be the coach and that he'll be back next year and that they're just rolling it back with Andrew Brunette? What's the reaction going to be? We heard from a lot of Predators fans yesterday, so we invite Predators fans to weigh in again here today. We'll pick up that conversation. So, Joe, I think it's fair to say most people we heard from yesterday do not love that approach, don't love that idea of bringing Andrew Brunette back as head coach next season. We did hear from a few people that don't necessarily have a problem with it, but want Brunette and Trotz, for that matter, to be on thin ice, no pun intended, heading into next year. So, as we sit here today, Joe, where do you think things stand based on kind of your reading of the situation, some comments that Barry Trotz has made publicly, both in a press conference setting and, of course, with his weekly interviews with Jared Stillman? Where do you think things currently stand on the Andrew Brunette front as it relates to next year?
Yeah, I have to take Trotz, you know, at his word on things he's said, and that means even though the circumstances in this league traditionally would lead you to expect a firing, I'm about 50-50. I'm not going to be surprised either way. I guess that's sort of I don't know if that's being wishy-washy, but that's just how I feel. I don't know what to expect, but Trotz, I think, has certainly made enough comments to make you think he's not just flippantly moving on. And it just seems like you said it yesterday. I mean, in a lot of cases, Brunette would have been gone already. So I think he's looking for reasons to keep him potentially, or he could even be resolved to keep him. I don't know. I feel like if you don't change, if you're mostly the same team, that's where, like next year, which is hard for me to believe that you wouldn't be, you know, I think that's the case to make a change. You know, Trotz did a couple of years ago. That's a different situation. He had just come in for David Poile, and, you know, so it wasn't his coach that he hired, but he sort of, you know, sort of said some things in support of John Hines publicly, and then they sort of waited it out and really made Hines wait a while and then finally made the move and went and got Brunette. So I mean, that I don't know how that, if that necessarily applies to this situation.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised either way. Whatever happens from here, no surprise. Which is surprising again relative to the rest of the NHL.
Well, I do want to – so Pierre LeBrun came out with this last week at The Athletic. And it is interesting context here. I don't think it's the be-all, end-all in terms of, like, determining that he's for sure back next year. But, you know, Pierre LeBrun went through some hot seat kind of coaching options in the NHL. And he did have a little tidbit here about Brunette. And I'll just read what he said. Quote, Brunette has two more years left after this season, plus an option year. My understanding of the situation with the Predators is that if general manager Barry Trotz had wanted to make a change, it would have already happened. He believes in Brunette, and he thinks the adversity this season will serve him well. The expectation is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season. So, Joe, you read that, and you think it's basically a foregone conclusion that Brunette's back next year. And maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, those comments are kind of right in line with what he said at the press conference that we talked about a few weeks ago after the trade deadline, which was basically that exact phrase of the adversity that they've gone through. You know, Trotz talked about the hand that Brunette was dealt and that he was responsible for some of the hand that Brunette was dealt and that he's going to get through the summer and he'll come back and he'll be a better coach for it. And one of the things that I threw out there was, okay, well, did he just say that Andrew Brunette was coming back? And then Jared Stillman asked him a week later to clarify, and he took more of the approach of, you know, we're still evaluating. So I don't know if that means that it's clear-cut that Andrew Brunette is coming back, but the Brun piece last week is a little bit more of a log on the fire that it's certainly, I think, a distinct possibility that Andrew Brunette will still be the head coach of the Nashville Predators when next season begins.
Yeah, and, you know, Trotz has made comments that are, like, already, like, looking ahead to when he's back as coach, you know? So it seems like a foregone conclusion. But then when you're presented with that question, why not just say, yeah, he's back, you know? I mean, if you're not going to actually consider moving on, why would you throw doubt into the air about someone's job?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It seems to add up to he's coming back, but then I understand in general you have this instinct to, like, no, I'm not going to say anything definitively about this or that, but if it's about your coach coming back and you really are bringing him back for sure, then that's when you absolutely say, yes, he'll be back. And there you go. And people can be mad right in that moment, and then you move on. But he didn't do that.
I still don't think they're, like, to me, and this is just, I don't know how Barry Trotz approaches this situation, but to me, I don't know that, let's say that you haven't made up your mind that you're going to fire him. That's fine. I don't know how you also could have totally made up your mind at this point that you're bringing him back. And the reason I say that is this. I think the exit meetings with the players are going to be really important in this. You know, they've talked about, you know, how Barry Trotz met at the trade deadline with guys like Stamkos and Marchessault and your veteran guys, O'Reilly being among them, and asked them, like, basically, do you want to be here? Because if you don't, you need to let me know and we'll try to get you moved here. Here's the direction we're going. Do you want to be here? Did Andrew Brunette come up at that time? I don't know, but that kind of – I heard the guys on DVD talking about this yesterday, and I think I tend to agree with Willie from this standpoint. That conversation to me was probably more like long-term, do you want to be in Nashville? Like, do you still want to be here? I doubt very seriously there was heavy conversations about the coach at that time with the players. I think the exit meetings is where there could be heavy conversations about the coach with the players. Like, do you get information when you're meeting with Stamkos or when you're meeting with Marchessault or when you're meeting with O'Reilly or whoever, if you're Barry Trotz at the end of the season, that paints the Brunette picture a little bit differently? Maybe, maybe not. I can tell you that things happen in the exit meetings sometimes that are totally unexpected, right? Like, I don't think Barry Trotz walked into the exit meeting last year and expected Ryan McDonagh to say, hey, man, I'd really like you to move me back to Tampa Bay. Like, I'd really like to get out of here and go back to Tampa Bay. So the exit meetings, I still think, could play a role in this as to totally finishing whatever way Trotz is leaning right now. I think there needs to – it would do him some justice to get through those before he really makes his decision.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is it kind of like He intends to bring him back, but is it like the Titans with the draft pick? Like they're pretty much resolved they're going to draft Cam Ward. But if someone comes with something,
Yeah.
okay, then we'll pivot. Is that where you think Trotz is?
Well,
Basically, he plans to bring him back, but if he hears too much that he what didn't expect, then maybe he has to reconsider.
maybe so. And look, also, what if somebody that you really love and you think is a good coach becomes available? Look, I can tell you, I don't look, I say this kind of half joking because I don't think that the Predators are gonna entertain this, but I could be wrong. But I do know that like Barry Trotz and John Tortorella are really close. Like they're really good friends. And all of a sudden last week he became available. Look, again, I doubt that that's the way they would go. But I'm just saying, like, what if Pittsburgh at the end of the year fires Mike Sullivan and Barry Trotz looks around and says, you know what? I love Mike Sullivan. I think Mike Sullivan could be a great coach for this team. I'm going that way. Like somebody could become available that you feel like you might have to pounce on if you're Barry Trotz. So I think you have to leave the door open for all that.
Yeah. And I think I'm sure, there are Preds fans. Look, I think a lot of Preds fans have wanted to see a change. And I understand that. And certainly if you're talking about a change to someone who's won at a very high level, like you just said earlier in the show, look at Montgomery, the guy can coach, guy can win. Seems like it's working out pretty well. These coaches inevitably these tenures end and if you're good enough, they start somewhere else. So that's an interesting part of it too. Who might be available? Boy, Tortorella. Give me the Tortorella Stilly weekly if we can get that installed.
I mean,
Inject that one in the
I know a
veins.
lot of the media people, my friends here would probably disagree with me. Man, I love Tortorella. I do. Every time I've
I
ever
think
dealt
it'd
with
be
Tortorella,
awesome.
it's been awesome. So.
He seems like a guy who is pretty fair and great quote. And then if you cross him, then he will absolutely it will be a bazooka aimed at your head.
Oh, yeah.
But right. But I mean, for the most part, pretty good.
Yep, I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on Andrew Brunette coming up next. We'll do that. Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us coming up at 7:30. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and grab yours now. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game, taking your thoughts on Andrew Brunette and the Predators. We'll have Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us here at 7:30. Preds taking on the Stars tonight. Blake on the text line, Joe, says, I'm not sure you can bring Brunette back unless he can clearly articulate where it went wrong this year and how he plans to address it next year. On that point, I would imagine that those conversations have been going on now for probably a while with him and Barry Trotz. Like, as we talked about yesterday, it's no secret that they've been eliminated from the playoffs for a long time. I know it officially happened last week, but they've known that this was a dumpster fire of a year for a long time. So I would imagine the conversations of, okay, where do we think things went wrong this year and how do we plan to make this different and fix it in the next year? I would imagine those conversations have long since been taking place between Brunette and Barry Trotz. Now the question then becomes, Joe, all right, well, if you've been having those conversations, which I believe that they have, why has there really not been any fixing it in the regular season this year? Like that, and I understand, I said it yesterday, injuries have now creeped into this thing where, I mean, go look at their roster they threw out there the other night. It's borderline not an NHL roster. I mean, you've got Sissons out and Yossi out and Lazan out and Marchessault out, and you got a lot of guys, especially on defense right now, that probably don't need to be in the NHL. So you do have to factor that in with the way things are going at some point. But I do think it's a fair question to ask if you're a Predators fan of, all right, if you're looking at next year and you're trying to identify where everything went wrong, what answers have you come up with and why have whatever those answers are, why have we not seen a payoff from that in this regular season while you're trying to figure that out?
Yeah, all fair. And, we asked Brunette about that last time we had him on, and he talked about, planning to, spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, And look, that's I think no matter what happens, if he comes back, you've said this before, but look, he's going to be at the top of the hot seat list going into next year. And I think it'd be beyond surprising, well beyond the norm of how people do business in this league, if they have a bad start and then Trotz didn't make the move during the season. And if you believe that's the case, then that's where you make the case for, so what if one of those guys does come available? Then wouldn't you be better off when you have a you have that you can go after a guy like that? Meanwhile, he's going to be hired, and so then who knows what exactly he's going is going to look like in terms of availability of other coaches next, Thanksgiving or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a great question. And kind of to that point in the coaching realm here. Again, I don't know if Mike Sullivan's going to be available. Mike Sullivan's a name that keeps coming up. We had somebody call in yesterday and ask about Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan, I think, is a really good coach. He's been in Pittsburgh for a long time. He's won two Stanley Cups. Pittsburgh's had a bad year, and they're in the process of kind of retooling things while trying to hold on to Crosby and Malkin and all those guys. So is Sullivan going to get fired at the end of the year? The odds are right now that he is. I mean, he's the odds-on favorite to be the next coach fired in the NHL. So if he becomes available, number one, is Barry Trotz interested in him? And number two, is he interested in coming here? Like, does he look at this situation and say, yeah, that's where I want to be for my next stop? Because, Joe, like, if you are interested in a guy like Sullivan, Sullivan knows that at some point he's getting another job. Like, Sullivan's going to get another job, whether it's here or elsewhere. So I guess my point is he's going to have some selection coming up both this offseason, and if he waited a month or two into next year, Joe, we know how this league works. Somebody gets off to a bad start, they fire their coach, and then all of a sudden you've got a potential good roster to go to that's ready-made. Like, if the Rangers don't fire Laviolette this year, could they go after Mike Sullivan early into next year? Like, there's a lot of different elements on that point. Real quickly, I got one texter that says, Robbie, a lot of people cover the Preds are saying you don't fire the coach unless you have a replacement picked out. It doesn't make sense to me if he isn't working, then just get rid of him. Can you elaborate on that theory? I would say this, Joe. In general, I think if you're firing your coach, it's a good idea to have a pretty good plan in place before you do that. You don't necessarily have to have, like, the exact person identified every time. But, like, I don't think you just willy-nilly fire your coach and then say, oh, okay, so now we fired the coach, what do we do now? Like, I think you've got to have a pretty good process in place there. Having said that, like, I don't know that I'd necessarily worry about that with this situation, because if Barry Trotz gets to the point where he does fire Andrew Brunette, Joe, my guess is he's probably been considering and thinking about this for a long time and should have a plan in place at that point.
Yeah, if you're in his job, if you're an athletic director in college, they always say you have your five people, have your list at all times.
Yep.
Be ready. So I'm sure he'll be prepared.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. We will get back into the Titans and some NFL draft discussion coming up at 8 o'clock in the 8 o'clock hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame beginning at 5:50. First pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Scheduled to be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. We'll hopefully get to him here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, a quick other weather update to pass along here. At the moment, there are no severe warnings in our area. And our friends at Nash Severe WX putting this out there on Twitter. No severe warnings for our area, but the entirety of both counties, talking about Williamson and Davidson County, and with that, you can factor in our entire Middle Tennessee area. With more heavy rain incoming, they all have flash flood warnings. So do not attempt to cross flooded roadways. So for the moment, Joe, it looks like the severe weather in terms of tornadic potential is off at the moment. We'll keep you updated on if whether or not that changes over the next couple of hours here. But the threat at the moment seems to be flash flooding that could potentially still continue to happen this morning. I know over by Trevecca, there have already been some cars that were underwater a little bit over there. And we're going to have more rain coming in, not only throughout today, but potentially throughout the rest of this week as well. So now the next step is being aware of some potential flooding issues that could take place.
Like right as you're saying this, I get the emergency alert on the I was trying to show it on the screen.
Yeah.
On the phone of the flash flooding. So, yeah. Very, very do not, you know, be out there unless you have to be and understand the terrain. You know, we get some obviously some low-lying areas that are very treacherous right now.
Well, and if you've been around here long enough, and again, I'm not comparing the situations because frankly, I'm not educated on this subject to know if it's even remotely close to going to be the same thing. But I do know that if you were here when the 2010 floods came around, like anytime you just get rain dumped on your area over and over again, like your mind kind of naturally starts to wander back to that point where it was just devastation around here. So just make sure you're aware of what's going on. I mean, we're under flash flood warnings right now, and we're under a flood watch for the next few days. And, you know, flash floods and floods are not necessarily what you want to be dealing with out there. So just make sure you're aware. And as Joe said, I mean, there are some different areas around here that are more susceptible to flood. So just make sure you're aware of kind of where you're going and driving over the next few days here.
Yeah. And more, you know, potentially beyond that, you know, there's also still, you know, more possible stuff that could develop storm wise today too. So lots of stuff going on.
We'll see what happens on that front for sure. Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight in Dallas. They will have their final game of the road trip tonight, and then they're back at home on Sunday to take on the Montreal Canadiens. Predators with a back-to-back set earlier this week between Philadelphia and Columbus. Obviously things did not go their way in those two games, so we'll see what it looks like tonight. And to help us talk about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie to the program. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Derek, it's been a heck of a schedule. I mean, we knew since the Four Nations break took place, everything was going to be condensed here, but you guys have been playing a lot of hockey, had a back-to-back earlier this week, and then immediately leave to go to Dallas. So what's it been like trying to navigate what has been an extraordinarily busy NHL schedule in the last part of the season here?
Yeah, I mean, no excuses. It's been tough. I think, you know, I've always said, you look at the schedule at the start of the year, there's never been one I liked. I mean, this time of year, it just seems to, you know, feel like it's every other night, which kind of has been. And, you know, that's the part about being a pro, and, you know, you have to kind of suck it up, and everyone's doing it this time of year. In saying that, it's not easy to do.
Yeah. How is everyone sticking together at this point, Derek? And what are you looking for here from these guys as it winds down, other than obviously trying to win games?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what kind of, you know, pulls you together. I think, like I said, it's, you talk about it a lot. A lot of times you go into these situations and you're just playing for each other, right? You spend so much time with each other on the road or whatnot, and you become family, and, you know, you go through the ups and downs. And at the end of the day, you know, when the puck drops in Dallas, you're playing for each other. And these guys have done that all year. I mean, it's never been for lack of effort. These guys, you know, going to every game trying to win, it hasn't been easy. I mean, quite honestly, even going into Columbus the other night, I mean, it's a back-to-back with late night travel, and probably the score wasn't as fair as the game, you know, was. These guys are battling. You know, they were in a really desperate situation to try to get 2 points. It'll be no different against Dallas tonight, but I mean, you know, going into these games, we're just trying to build. We're just trying to, you know, look for some momentum or some character traits that, you know, we can carry into next year. And I think a perfect example of that is, you know, even Ryan O'Reilly doing what he did last game. I mean, that's why he's been in the league as long as he is, and that's why he's a leader. I mean, that for me is something that we can build on. I mean, you know, sticking up for Phil the way he did just shows that regardless of the fact that we're not going to get into the playoffs, these guys care.
Yeah, no hesitation from O'Reilly on that play at all. So, Derek, I want to ask you about Matthew Wood. I know you've not been around him, obviously, a ton to this point, but you're talking about a first-round pick, a big-body guy, and we know he's going to be joining your group here at some point coming up. So what do you make kind of his profile, and what are you kind of, I guess, most curious to learn about him at the NHL level over the next few days here?
Well, yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Obviously, you know, I don't know a ton about him from, you know, that personal level. I think, you know, I even look back to, I'm going to really date myself, but I remember a guy like Danny Heatley coming out of college as well, right? And I remember, you know, being in the league and playing games, and then, you know, he kind of comes in and you're like, well, you know, where is he going to be at coming from college? I mean, it's such a different setting and obviously a completely different situation on the ice. And Danny just made like a seamless transition, and it kind of reminded, or you realize at that time just how talented some of these guys are. And not to put that pressure on him, but I think obviously some of these guys step out, and you can see that they're pretty special players. I mean, he's a high pick. I think, you know, everyone's kind of curious and looking forward to seeing he's a very talented guy. I think it's a very good setting for him to come in here. I mean, there's not a ton of pressure from once in a certain from a certain situation. I mean, there's guys that come out and you go sling straight into a playoff game, for instance. I think we're playing a great team. I don't know when he's actually going to get his first shift, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy for him. I mean, I know he's ecstatic, and I think he's going to, you know, step in and do some great things. Where it plays out, you know, we don't want to rush him. We want to give him some minutes, just have a look at him and let him grow, you know. So, but sounds like a very talented guy who can shoot the puck. Looking forward to seeing him play.
When a guy like that comes in, Derek, what do you look for from your veterans? You know, obviously – You're trying to support this kid. You're trying to get these guys, you know, acclimated, and hope that in the future they're going to be key players. But also, like, is a little bit of a test too from the veterans? A little bit. Let's see if this kid's tough enough. Like, how do you want them to deal with this situation?
Yeah, I don't think it's a case of like, you know, is he tough enough? I think, you know, that's probably what's changed for the better in the game a little bit, is that, you know, I think there was times back in the day you get called up or you'd play a game and you get 2 minutes of ice, right? Or, you know, it seemed like when there was an injury, irregardless, you'd get called up and you'd play on the fourth line and guys would get bumped up. I think, you know, nowadays in the NHL, you want to surround them with put them in situations where you think he can thrive. So, for instance, you're not going to call up a skilled guy and, you know, put him on the fourth line in the PK. I mean, if he's a power play guy and he's got a great shot, you'll probably, you know, put him in some situations where, you know, he can flourish. So, again, not speaking out of turn, obviously, Coach Burnett, he's the guy that, you know, is obviously going to implement him in certain situations that he feels best. But I do think, you know, he's a guy that can score goals, can shoot pucks, and probably be surrounded with a couple guys that can get him the puck tonight.
Derek, last thing for you here. I just want to get your thoughts on this as a guy who's played the game and as a guy who's played against this player. You know, Ovechkin is chasing down Gretzky here for the all-time goals lead in the history of the NHL. He's going to get it at some point, whether it's this year or early into next year. What do you make of what he's doing at his age and the significance of this record when he gets it for the sport?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately, you watch kind of wane throughout this process, right? And I think in a lot of ways, you know, I've always thought that and looked up to him. And as a Canadian, you just think, you know, he's the greatest and he's the end-all be-all in a lot of ways. But more importantly, you know, he's just been a class act ever since I've known him. And he's obviously been a role model for a lot of kids. I mean, my son probably wouldn't, you know, gravitate to him like I would. But at the end of the day, I think throughout this whole process, he's been just outstanding about, you know, basically cheering on Ovi and wanting to be a part of the process and saying, hey, it's just a record. And so in saying that, you know, I think you watch him and a part of me is like, I don't want him to break it. You know, you're a Canadian.
Yeah.
But playing against Ovi and appreciating the competitor that he is and appreciating, you know, everything he's done. And then, quite frankly, a record that, you know, maybe no one else will get to. Like, it's just so impressive. And, you know, he's always played the game the right way. He's always been hard to play against. It's not just been about scoring, even though he's so effective in that category. It's just, you got to tip your hat to him. You got to appreciate how he's taken care of himself over the years and how he's found different ways. The reality is, when someone is that good, and I've had, you know, a pleasure of playing against him and took some minuses for sure. You know, every night he has to play against the toughest guys. Every night, no one wants to get scored on against him, and he still finds ways to do it. A guy like that who's, you know, done it for so long and against the other team's best players, it's quite remarkable, and it's, hey, it's impressive, and listen, just been exciting and proud to be a part of that process. It's great for hockey.
Well, Derek, really appreciate your time as always. Good luck tonight in Dallas, and we'll see you when you guys are back home this weekend.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on the program. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Get back into the Titans coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What are you, a Russian spy or something?
Yeah, right.
All right, I'll catch you later.
See ya.
Принесло.
Да, чуть не спалили.
Fans of the Dead! Fans of the Dead! Holy cheeky carpet!
Before the year, I was saying, we're not going to be sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. I forgot about that Ovechkin ESPN commercial where he was the Russian spy. That was pretty good.
Yes, that was good.
Pretty good stuff. So we just brought this up with Derek McKenzie, Joe, and I have a few thoughts on this. Number one, I'm not sure that the sporting world as a whole is giving the proper due to Alex Ovechkin and what he's about to accomplish here. Like, you know, they'll flash it up on ESPN for like 30 seconds when he scores a goal, and then people move on. You know, I'm beyond hope of like all the talk shows and First Take and all this stuff, spending significant time talking about Alex Ovechkin in the NHL. So that part of it is what it is. But, like, this is a pretty unbelievable accomplishment, what he's about to get done here. And he scored again last night. Ovechkin, as we sit here today, is three goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. Now, he's at 892 goals in his career. Gretzky's at 894. The amazing part, Joe, is Gretzky played in 1,487 games in his career and scored 894. Ovechkin is two games behind him in terms of games played in his career and is two goals behind him. So there's a chance they could end That's up wild. With the same exact amount of goals and the same exact amount of games played, which is just incredible here. Now, look, when you start to look at the most unbreakable records in sports, go look through hockey, and Wayne Gretzky holds a lot of those. Like, a lot of these records that may never get broken in sports. Like, people bring up, obviously, Joe DiMaggio in baseball with the hitting streak. Like, that's a pretty darn difficult one to accomplish there. Like, Gretzky's point record overall, you're talking about a guy that's got over 2,000 points. That's probably not going to be touched. It's going to be really hard for a player to break that. I wouldn't say the goal record has always been one of those. Like, I don't think it's been, like, towards the list of, like, unbreakable records in sports. I don't know how high it is on that. But it's unbelievable what Ovechkin is doing this year. Ovechkin is 39 years old. He's got 39 goals this year. And, by the way, he missed, like, 20 games because of a broken leg. Like, he had a broken leg earlier this year at age 39 and still has 39 goals. Here's the list of players this year that have more goals than Alex Ovechkin. Leon Draisaitl, William Nylander. That's it. It's Leon Draisaitl and William Nylander who have more goals than Ovechkin this year. So I don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, that's really what the rest of the regular season for Washington is about now. Like, they're going to get – I mean, they've already clinched the playoff spot. They're going to win their division. And it's just about when he's going to break the record. If he does it this regular season, if not, it's going to be shortly into next year. But, I mean, he's got, at this point, 7 games left to get 3 goals. I think he's probably going to get it. So he's probably going to get it this year. And I hope – that as a general sports populace, we can just sit back and enjoy what is the greatest goal scorer, regardless of if he got the record or not. I would feel this way. He is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League, and it's incredible the year that he's having at age 39. He's going to end up with like 45 goals this year at age 39.
Yeah, it's totally absurd, and that's exactly what he is. The only two things that come to mind – one is just that hockey doesn't get enough attention. You know, I mean, I this is one of those things that should be a larger thing. Sports in general, like you said, you know, some of the most unbreakable and insane records in sports. Also, I mean, look, obviously he's not the all around player Gretzky was, you know? So, right. I mean, not that diminishes this record at all, but
he's very different.
Yeah, this is what he does. This is his specialty. But again, he will go down as the best at it. You know, whereas obviously Gretzky, you know, it was a completely dominant player in every way. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, this should be getting more love and attention than it's getting. Maybe it will. But yes, I mean, like that's the thing. So even take it to like a first take, like an argument show. Okay, well, if you don't want to get into hockey nitty gritty, what about like the most unbreakable records? I mean, I'm throwing out topic ideas here. You know,
notes, Stephen A. Quit trying to fight LeBron and take some notes.
Pat McAfee, you know, rather than amplify ridiculous internet rumors, you know, get into something like this.
Could be. We'll see when he does it. Washington plays tomorrow in Chicago. So, I mean, given Chicago's defense, Lord, he might do it tomorrow. I mean, he might get a hat trick tomorrow and just break the record. We'll see what happens. They are at home on Sunday. No, excuse me, they're home tomorrow. So, home tomorrow against Chicago. Yeah, he might get a hat trick tomorrow.
How about that? Oh, boy.
Brandon says if Ovechkin was wearing a Lakers jersey, ESPN would be covering it 24/7. There's maybe something to that.
Yeah.
A lot of Lakers talk out there.
Yep. No, I mean it's totally fair. And it really is like it's insane. Like what you just said, I didn't realize that. I mean, he's third in the league in goals having missed 20 games.
Yeah. I mean, it's
absurd.
Pretty incredible. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. We got some Cam Ward thoughts to get into later this hour. We also will revisit some comments from an NFL executive on what the Titans have done on their offensive line. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.